This is KUOW's The Record. I'm Bill Radke. Welcome. The end is near. We are less than a week from Election Day. We have come to learn so much about Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton. We do not know nearly as much about the voters, and David Domke thinks you should pay more attention to them. Domke chairs the Department of Communications at the University of Washington. He says voters have changed in the last 20 years in two big election-affecting ways, religious beliefs and racial diversity.
It was 80 to 90% white for decades and decades, and now we expect about 70% white in this presidential election. And African Americans, Latino Americans, Asian Americans, Natives are all at larger percentages than they have ever been in our country's history in the presidential electorate. And that would not matter except that the people of color, the voters of color, vote differently in general than white voters.
How so?
That's important.
Our listeners might assume they know how so, but I don't know.
Sure.
How do?
Well, the African Americans have been the most dedicated Democratic Party voters for decades. That continues. Latino Americans have been split over time, but have in the last couple elections swung strongly towards the Democrats. Asian Americans actually were more Republican back in the late 1980s and were split in 1992 over Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush, but also have swung dramatically Democratic. Native American voters are strongly Democratic. So what you have is a strong Democratic coalition now that is what has been called kind of the Obama or the emerging America coalition that is much more Democratic, much less white, whereas white voters tend to be about 60-40 Republican.
Except the Republican and Democratic parties are changing, too. And we have, you know, the candidates that aren't like other candidates. So how do you think race plays into this election?
Well, you know, in some really kind of unusual ways, Republicans, if you looked at their top candidates, are offering a much more diverse field in this presidential election. You go back 15 months. They're much more diverse than what the Democrats are offering.
Are you talking presidential or nationwide?
No, but even if you look in governor's seats around the country, there are more women, more non-white candidates that are Republican than Democrats. But when you look at the voting composition of the electorate, and that's driven more by policies than by the people at the top of the tickets, the Democrats draw much more strongly among voters of color.
We're getting early voting results showing a falling turnout among African-American voters compared to last year. Is that just lack of Obama effect, or what do you think is going on?
Yeah, I think that is getting attention. I think there's two things going on there. One is we have to expect a bit of a fall off from the first African-American identified president. So a bit of that. At the same time, I think there's a reasonable point to be made that maybe the Democratic Party or the Clinton campaign has not satisfactorily reached out or kind of in a positive way targeted African-American voters with their policies. And they're working hard on that now, but we'll see. And this could matter in some key states.
How would Clinton's campaign reach out to African-American voters more?
Well, there could have been some economic policies that would have been more accentuated. Think about some of the younger voters, many of color, that Sanders was able to draw in the Democratic primary. So, you know, we have a generational shift here in that older African-American voters very much prefer Clinton, but younger, they were pretty strongly Sanders. So some economic policies. She was later to the process of thinking about some criminal justice reform. The reality is that some of her kind of positions around trade or healthcare might not be as strongly as some African American voters might want. So I think there are some things there that maybe they would go back and do retrospectively, because they might have been banking on just the way in which Trump pushed away these voters.
What's happening to the so-called religious vote in this country?
From the late 1960s through really 2005 or six, white evangelicals were the dominant religious force in this country. They dominated the messages and the debates, and they were the group that turned out so strongly for the Republicans that they were the crucial voting bloc. Mitt Romney, 38% of voters for Mitt Romney in 2012 were white evangelicals. Okay, but what has happened, I really think, is that the racial changes in this country have brought along religious changes as well.
People, how's that?
Well, you have immigrants coming to this country who bring different traditions. You also have a reality that Hispanic Catholics are different than white Catholics. Okay, so Hispanic Catholics tend to be a bit more liberal than white Catholics, and so we have some movement among kind of religious groups, and we also have this really burgeoning body of people that are called the nuns. That's N-O-N-E.
That's not N-U-N-S. Right.
No, it's the
far from it.
Yeah, N-O-N-E, which are people who in surveys say, I believe in God in some capacity, but I have no religious affiliation whatsoever. So they're called the nuns. And they've gone from, 4 to 6% in the mid-1990s to over 20% of our population now. And so they might be mostly Christian in general, but they don't think and act politically like evangelicals or kind of conservative Catholics. And so what we've got is a much more pluralistic religious arena so that no single voice dominates in religious terms now.
Is it clear how the nuns will vote this election?
The nuns have been highly democratic for the last several elections. So it's likely they tend to be younger. They also tend to be more open-minded, which correlates generally with a kind of democratic position. But that youngerness, again, is a struggle for Clinton. She has struggled with younger voters in a way that Obama did not struggle with younger voters.
There's been a lot of talk about how religious voters could or could not support Donald Trump. What's the actual reality? Do we know how much he attracts religious voters?
This is the $10 million question for this election is how do white evangelicals who have made the case for decades that their positions are principled ones based upon a morality framework that has to do with policy positions around abortion and same-sex relationships, but also has to do with the notion of fidelity in relationships, sexual kind of approaches, all kinds of things. How could they endorse and support this person? Well, the rationale that has been put forward by those who do, and there are plenty in the religious right who still do support him, is that we don't support the man, but we support the policies that he would nonetheless endorse, and that he'd be better than Clinton on those. And for example, they'd rather have him appoint Supreme Court justices than Hillary Clinton. In my view, I think that white evangelicals have lost tremendous credibility in this election, in that they had a chance to make a kind of definitive principled statement in this case that, yeah, we care about these policies, but we care about who we pull the lever for, too. And I think that they would have come out of this in much stronger terms politically and in credibility wise if they would have said, this isn't our election. This isn't us. We're just not going to vote because we don't want to vote for Clinton either. Right. But they did.
Why does their credibility matter to anybody but them?
I think it matters in terms of policymaking on Congress, so they have less influence. I think it matters in terms of the ability to make a moral argument for this country about any position on any issue. So the credibility doesn't just matter in terms of getting someone elected. It matters in terms of neighbors. It matters in terms of advancing a certain moral framework that they care about.
We've been talking about Christians, affiliated and unaffiliated. What about other religions in this country?
Sure. So, Muslim Americans, of course, have gotten a great deal of attention this election, often negative from Donald Trump, hostile. And the reality is that I think that many Muslim Americans come out of this election with that kind of credibility I'm talking about, the way that they've handled themselves as a group, the way that some of their leadership has taken principled positions. So I would say that increasing diversity among Muslims, the nuns, the Buddhists and the Hindus, Mormons, I think all of them come out of this election with a greater political credibility. I think Mormons in Utah have taken the stand against Trump that white evangelicals could have taken. They did it because they said he doesn't represent us. We won't vote for this guy. I mean, I respect that.
Looking beyond this election, does more religious and racial diversity in this country equal more Democrats in office?
It likely does. That's the way the coalitions are set up right now. History tells us, though, that political parties do evolve and do.
They don't last in irrelevancy, right? They evolve.
Right. They evolve because they have to. And there's tremendous power involved in these parties, right? So I think that they will evolve. I would be of the mind that the 2020 presidential nominee for the Republicans will be pro-immigration reform, will be at least neutral on same-sex relationships, and will have a much more welcoming, racially inclusive platform. And I think that they could have been closer to that with a Marco Rubio or a John Kasich in this election, both of whom are definitely conservative, but are not hostile to racial and religious minorities. And so I think that the 2020 nominee is likely to be that. However, I'm not sure the Republican Party will be the same Republican Party then.
How much of you, Professor, thinks Donald Trump could win the presidency?
7%.
Do you take it seriously?
Yeah. I think anybody who's one of the two finalists, basically we have two Super Bowl finalists here, and things can happen when the game is played. People don't turn out. You don't know what's going to happen. So if you're in the ring, another metaphor, if you're in the ring, then you can win. I don't think that there's any indicators that suggest that Trump is going to win, but there's that chance. Yeah.
The latest controversy about with the FBI and Clinton emails, not a game changer.
It's not a game changer, not for those people that are already set in who they're going to vote. There is a small slice of the electorate, independents, maybe waffling moderate Republicans who will be pushed away by this. In a primary, in the Democratic and Republican primaries, there's great movement in the polls and among the candidates all the way up to election day, because these are pretty similar apples to apples comparisons. And so you can move from A to B. In a general election, we're talking apples and oranges generally. At this point, the voting preferences are largely baked in. In fact, they've already been done in many states. About 30 million people have already voted, 30 million out of 130 million who will probably vote. The reality is I don't think it changes the equation dramatically. It tightens things, but Clinton's lead moves from 6 and 7 points to 4 to 5.
Trump is going to get a lot of votes.
Yeah.
Millions and millions of votes. What happens to Trump voters if he loses?
A large percentage of them will not be happy and will fight the system and will, in the worst case scenario, lead to some kind of actual rebellion. And I don't think that that's out of the realm of possibility, because I think that what happens after November 8th is far less known than what I think is likely to happen on the election day.
A rebellion, I mean, you mean a fight here, a fight there. You don't mean an organized revolt, do you?
Not organized in that there's somebody directing it, but organized in that there's a similar ideology, similar set of values that are driving it. So I don't think that the rebellion against that we saw in Oregon against the anti-militia is out of the question in many places. And it's not just the West, right? He could win Ohio. I think that those voters are absolutely the unknown after this election, what they're going to do and what Donald Trump does and what Republican leadership, not named Donald Trump, do really matters in that space. And so I desperately want a robust, principled Republican Party for our country. We need this, and we're going to need them starting November 9th in a dramatic way.
David Domke is chair of the Department of Communications at the University of Washington.